a rumor circulating that I am going to get a haircut this afternoon. I am not here either to confirm or deny that rumor. It remains to be seen. Good morning, everyone. Martin Zender. A little subdued here this morning compared to the last 2 days because I'm going to do a little bit of a buzz job here. I'm going to go over the highlights of Chapter 17. No, I'm not going to do a buzz job. I'm going to do a thorough dissertation at Chapter 18. It's not going to be bad, folks. It's the destruction of Babylon. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. Looking forward to chapter 19, verse 5. You know why? Because that's the last verse about Babylon. I'm tired of it. And then starting with verse 6, we have the marriage supper of the Lambkin. And then 2021-22, finally, we're getting the big picture, the stuff I enjoy. The scene is moving from the earth to the heavens. And we're looking at a great white throne. And we're looking at the judgment of the rest of the dead. That is the majority of humanity. That excites me because it's big. The picture is big. The scope is getting bigger and bigger. Starting with 19:5. But right now we're in chapter 17. We're going to bravely go forward here. And we're going to take the nuts and bolts. That's why I'm in black and white. If you're watching on the laundry cam. Here is the mind which has wisdom. Well, let's go start with verse 6 of chapter 17. Perceiving her, I marvel at the great marvel. This is John marveling at the woman, the beast, or the woman riding the beast. And the messenger said to me, why do you marvel? Now that ticks me off right away. Why do you marvel? What are these messengers used to? What are these angelic beings who attend to God? What are they used to? They must be used to some crazy stuff. Because here's John on the island of Patmos, a poor Jewish guy, probably an old man by this time. He's got a beard down to his nipples, and he's on an island, and he starts seeing the craziest things a human being has ever seen in a vision, with a possible exception of Ezekiel, who saw wheels within wheels and eyes on the wheels, which were the presentation of the cherubim, the four animals who sit at the throne of God. Now, okay, I might have to say that that tops this. But why do you marvel? Jeez. My answer would have been, pause and think about it, messenger. And then I would have gone into all the details. But yeah, maybe not. That's me sitting here in my little laundry room. If I'd been there, I might have been a little more like, well, sir, I'm marveling because I've never seen anything like this before. Seeing as how I'm time traveling, that's different. Okay, and the messenger said to me, why do you marvel? I shall be declaring to you the secret of the woman and of the wild beast which is bearing her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. So, once again, this book that's supposed to be a mystery is here spoken of as a revealing of a secret. Is that the word that was used here? Declaring to you. Yeah, declaring to you the secret of the woman. Excuse me. That feels better. I shall be declaring to you the secret of the woman and of the wild beast, which is bearing her, which has the seven heads. The wild beast, which you perceive, was and is not and is about to be ascending out of the abyss. It was the wild beast. It is not. Now, the wild beast, as I've told you earlier, is personified in a man, the Antichrist. And I'm convinced it has to be a man. It uses the pronoun he. I sort of missed that before. I was focusing on the human of lawlessness. Ooh, non-gender specific. Well, then he this, he that. The reason God is called, I'm not going to get on a sidetrack, the reason God is called he, God is neither male nor female, is that, you know, with certain nouns in certain languages, they're assigned a gender. For instance, in French, a pencil is a female, and a pen is a male, and it's crazy stuff. La piscine, that's a swimming pool, it's feminine. The swimming pool's feminine, did you know that? And la chat, I think that's cat, la. La, I guess you use la depending on the actual gender of the animal. Anyway, I don't know why languages do this. I guess it makes it better. I can't understand why. But it's a man of lawlessness. So he's going to, he was, is not, and then will be. Remember, he suffers a death blow and appears to come back to life. I believe it is at this interval that he becomes possessed by Satan. Obsessed, possessed, however you want to say this man, who appeared to be a nice man before the death blow, is going to be an evil man. But of course, that will be, you know what? I think the secret of lawlessness is up at this point, is done. You remember the secret of lawlessness is that lawlessness is disguised as righteousness. Satan is now disguising himself as a messenger of light. I believe that veil, that cloak, is going to be discarded in the last 3.5 years, and it's just going to be outright evil acts from the man of lawlessness, and is about to be ascending out of the abyss. The abyss is like the submerged chaos. It's where I relate it to Tartarus, where the disobedient angels are kept, who gave away their sovereignty during the days of Noah. They obsessed the race. They drove it to the brink, like those pigs Jesus drove over the brink, possessed them. Not totally, but influenced them to become a rotten generation to the point that all of them were destroyed except for 8 people. So the abyss is not a place you want to visit. I don't recommend it for your family vacation. The abyss, the submerged chaos, same thing. I believe it's the same thing as Tartarus. And to be going away into destruction. So there's the career of the wild beast in a nutshell. The wild beast, which you perceived, was, is not, and is about to be ascending out of the abyss and to be going away into destruction. There's your career in four easy lessons. Up, down, in, out, and away. And those dwelling on the earth whose names are not written in the scroll of life from the disruption of the world will be insanely impressed by the daring do of this evil magician. Well, I kind of added that last part. That was a Zender paraphrase. My Bible would read that way. Here's what it really says. And those dwelling on the earth whose names are not written on the scroll of life from the disruption of the world will be marveling, observing the wild beast, seeing that it was and is not and will be present. But now it's present with the powers of Satan. Do you remember that Satan had to possess Judas Iscariot, because the man, the poor little Jew, left to his own devices, would not have betrayed Christ. He didn't have it in him. He had the inclination. He was thinking about it. Some say that he thought he was doing a good thing. He was stopping this madness in its tracks. Look, we're getting too powerful, too strong. We're getting in big trouble. We're getting, it's getting dangerous around here. It's getting hot, Judas probably would have said. It's getting hot. I'm going to put an end to it. But he became diabolical because Satan himself possessed him. And when Satan left, the man so despaired, he so hated what he did, when he saw what was happening, when he came to his senses, that he hung himself. And his bowels burst open when the rope broke and he fell upon the rocks. Here's the mind which has wisdom. Here's the enigma right here. The 7 heads are 7 mountains where the woman is sitting on them, and they are 7 kings. Here's one of those extended metaphors. As far as I know, it's the only one mentioned in the scripture, where the 7 heads are said to be 7 mountains. And these are 7 kings. Remember, the last noun in a metaphor is literal. Well, both nouns are literal in the sense that John is seeing the heads. And the heads are said to be mountains, but the mountains are finally said to be kings, and that's what they literally are. Why mountains then? I'll be getting to that. 5 fall, 1 is, the other came not as yet. What does that mean? It means what it says. Simple. Like I said, I'm going to take the big picture. I'm not going to get lost in the weeds here. Nobody knows who these heads are, who these kings are. Nobody can name them. I can't tell you that this one is Obama, this one's Trump, this one's Billy Preston, or whatever. He's dead, man. Just pulled that out. Now listen, 5 fall, that is 5 are deposed. 5 fall doesn't mean they trip. They are deposed. They're outmaneuvered. They're made inert. They're made inept. They're made to have no more influence. One is, the other came not as yet. Five fall, one is, that's six. The other came not as yet. So one's like waiting in the wings. He hasn't come yet. That would be my language. Five screw up, one keeps going, another one hasn't showed up yet. That's, there it is. That's the Zender paraphrase. You know what I should do? I should write a paraphrase on the book of Revelation. Excuse me. I should write a paraphrase, Zender paraphrase of the book of Revelation. He may be coming and must remain briefly. And the wild beast, which was and is not, and it is the eighth. It is the eighth also, and is from among the seven, and is departing into destruction. It's from among the seven. So it was one of the seven kings, the wild beast, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. And it becomes the eighth. And this is tricky, I'll have to admit to that. But you know, some of Paul's plain statements, so-called, in Ephesians are tricky. There's some passages in Romans that are tricky. You have to really sort it out. So it's just the language of Scripture that calls for workmen, work people. Didn't mean to be gender specific there. Sorry. Workwomen, workwomen, workmen and workwomen. I'm not making light of this stuff. I'm just telling you that this is not the impenetrable fortress that we have thought. We're on chapter 17 and we've understood fairly well everything that's happened in this book up until now. It's fantastic. It's amazing. It's hard to believe it can happen, but it's going to happen. And it is going, departing to destruction. That's going to happen in chapter 20 when the beast, the adversary, and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. Now, all right, we'll deal with this when we get there. If the adversary is controlling the beast, then how is the beast and the adversary going into the lake of fire? Well, conscious. There are only three beings conscious in the lake of fire. I'm going to really explain this to you in detail. I consider myself the world expert on the lake of fire, which is the second death. I'm the world expert. Seriously. Almost everyone is off track on this. But Satan doesn't necessarily have to directly obsess someone in order for that person to be said to be obsessed by Satan. Just like Christ is in you. Is Jesus Christ literally in you? It's his spirit that's in you. Created by the Elohim, or the heavens and the earth. Elohim is plural. I thought God created the heavens and the earth. He did, but he did it by delegated authorities, delegated messengers. Christ is going to rule in Jerusalem, but I thought Christ is in heaven with us, seated at the right hand of God. Well, Christ can rule through David. David is his designated, appointed king. And Christ, the spirit of Christ will be so in David that it could be said Christ rules in Jerusalem. Well, I didn't see him, I saw David. That's Christ in a figure of speech, a figure of speech known as, what is that figure? Association, I put it, the figure of association, where one thing is put for another thing. It's associated with it. Jesus said, there's a passage in the Gospels, all Jerusalem went to hear Christ. It did? All Jerusalem? The city actually went? The city had legs? Did the city take a cab? What did it do? All Jerusalem? Well, Jerusalem is a figure of association. It's associated for the people of Jerusalem. Instead of saying the people of Jerusalem went to see Christ, all Jerusalem. It's a picturesque way of saying something. It's poetic. It's a figure of speech, figure of association. One thing is put for another thing that's closely associated with it. Jerusalem is closely associated with the people in Jerusalem. Christ is closely associated with David, who has the spirit of Christ completely in him. Satan can possess someone, the adversary, using a minion, using a subordinate. There are many powers, mights, world mights, darkness among the celestials, according to Ephesians 6, I believe, Ephesians 6. And the 10 horns, which you perceive, are 10 kings, 10 other kings. So there are 7 kings and there are 10 kings, those who obtain no kingdom as yet, but are obtaining authority as kings at 1 hour with the wild beast. all right, you're wanting me to name these kings. You're wanting me to sort all this out. I'm just reading it. If you forget about trying to identify who these are, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. We can't know. If you just forget that and read it as it stands on the surface, it's not that complicated. 10 horns or 10 kings? Simple enough. 10 kings. Those who obtain no kingdom as yet. What does that mean? They haven't obtained the kingdom yet. That's all it means. But are obtaining authority as kings at 1 hour with the wild beast. So the wild beast, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, just suddenly appoints them. They obtain no kingdom as yet. A kingdom, that means authority, doesn't mean they have a castle, doesn't mean... So you need to look at kingdom as a figure of association too. It's a realm of rulership. So it's not like we're looking to put these... Every king has his own castle. It's just that these kings have no authority yet. They're not given the right... The nod. All it takes is a nod. Watch my head if you're on the laundry cam. Watch this. See that? Look, all the man of lawlessness has to do is look at you. You're over there, let's say. You don't have any authority yet. You're waiting to see if you're going to get the nod. And the Antichrist does this. Watch. He goes, that's it. When the presidential candidate names a vice president, it happens in 5 minutes. Nobody knows who it is. This person who is about to be the vice presidential nominee has no power, no authority, no kingdom at all. But as soon as this little thing happens, this nod, I want you. I want you. Then the person suddenly has incredible authority. Same with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court nominee is a citizen, a regular citizen. It's a nobody. Until this happens, watch the head again. And listen to the words, I want a yo. And then, bang, that person is clothed in great power, or cloaked in great power, if you prefer. So these epic things of chapter 17 are just happenings. They're normal things. They're nods here. I want yo there. And there are people coming into power who were not in power before. And then some of them get taken away from power. You're fired. Donald Trump, you're fired. You're fired. That's all it takes for a... one to be is not, but we see this epic Bible language. He is, then is not, then is going away. Ooh, that's fancy Bible language. No, he gets the nod, then he gets you're fired, and then he goes to the lake of fire. Simple.